19. Here's another interesting question. Is the universe a good egg or a bad egg? The exterminators paused mid-dive as the sea and the sky and the islands themselves rocked crazily round them. This eruption was different from the first. This time, what had happened was that the heat of the volcano had hatched the Firestone. For one of the many secrets of the Firestone that Hiccup had worked out from old Wrinkly's riddle, and I am sure that you clever readers and listeners have guessed this too, is that it is not, in fact, a stone at all. It is an egg. The egg of the exceptionally rare fire dragon. And one of the reasons that fire dragons are so exceptionally rare is that the conditions required for them to hatch are so unlikely as to be virtually impossible. For the fire egg can only hatch in the heat and turbulence of a volcano that is exploding. But the fire egg also gives out chemicals that prevent the volcano from doing just that. First, you have to imagine the extraordinary, impossible hugeness of a fire dragon. Then, you have to imagine that hugeness all coiled up and packed inside an egg no larger than a human head. That is the fire egg. The walls of this fire egg are made of a material so terribly, terribly strong that only a temperature of 750 degrees Celsius can melt them or crack them. Normally, the fire egg is laid on a nook on the upper levels of a volcano crater, where the temperature never reaches levels high enough to hatch it. But if it topples down, or in this case is thrown, into the heart of the volcano itself and sinks down deep into the molten lava, then that kind of heat is sufficient to crack the unbelievably hard shell. It takes about 6 or 7 minutes, the same sort of time that it might take you to hard-boil a chicken's egg. Then, when the shell is cracked, all that energy and hugeness packed down to such a pinprick smallness are suddenly released in an instant, and the fire dragon explodes outwards with an energy and a force impossible to describe, like a sort of mini Big Bang. So what the exterminators and the Vikings and Hiccup and Toothless saw was something erupting out of the volcano crater. Something that shot up so high, it seemed as if it could touch the very stars. Down on the deck of the Blue Whale, Stoic flung up an arm to shield himself from the brightness, for to look at it was a bit like looking at the sun itself and pained the eyes.
"What is that?"
breathed Stoic in awe. Humongous and Kamikaze and Fishlegs, who had landed safely on the deck of the Peregrine Falcon, forgot their fear as they gazed up in wonder at the extraordinary, terrible beauty of this sight. The something that erupted out of the volcano was a dragon that seemed to be made entirely out of fire. Of course, that is impossible, but this is what it looked like. Gleaming muscles and scales of flame. Burning talons and scorching fangs, it threw back its great fiery head and let out a great roar that echoed across the islands and even reached the trembling ears of the fleeing Viking tribes miles and miles to the south, watching all this unfold on the horizon, standing silent on the decks of their rocking ships, soaked to the skin by the wildness of the storm. The fire dragon turned its great flaming red-gold eyes down towards the earth, and they focused on the exterminators, hanging below it in great, black, trembling clouds. And when the fire dragon looked at the exterminators, what it saw was prey. The exterminators knew it too. 1 minute they were the predators, leaping down towards Hiccup with greedy talons outstretched. The next, the world was shaking and vibrating around them, as if the gods had suddenly reshaken the dice. And now that the world had stopped shaking again, they had suddenly become the victims. The Vikings were now in the extraordinarily privileged position of being the audience to a scene played out in the blue skies above that had not taken place for hundreds and hundreds of years. A scene that dramatically demonstrated the exquisite balance of nature that Hiccup had placed such trust in. The fight was played out against the background of the tempest at its peak, Thor's thunder rolling out magnificently from the blue-black clouds, great flashes of white sheet lightning lighting up the drama in intermittent bursts and then dying away to darkness. Hiccup watched the combat lying floating on his back in the grave coldness of the sea below, and the battle raging in the sky above him reminded Hiccup of a shoal of fish trapped in a tide-locked bay by a mighty shark. The exterminators shot shrieking across the surface of the stormy sky in their panic. They scattered hither and thither in great fleeing groups that sped across the firmament, splitting and reforming as they dodged through the jaggedy lightning right to the very edges and corners of the horizon. But however fast or far they flew, they couldn't escape the fire dragon. The fire dragon never moved from its position on top of the volcano. It reached out with its great arms, flaming gloriously upward like tall, watery trees of fire, and scooped up the exterminators in huge handfuls, thrusting them down its glowing gullet with noisy relish. It played with them like a cat does a mouse, letting them think they had got away, and then catching them up with its burning tongue. The fire dragon swallowed the whole lot of them, tossing them into his blazing mouth in their struggling thousands, plucking them out of their hiding places in the smoke, sucking them in satisfied, crackling bursts. Until there was only one left, zigzagging across the sky like a demented bluebottle. This was the one with Alvin on its back.
"You haven't seen the last of me, Hiccup Perendus Haddock the Third,"
yelled Alvin the Treacherous. But he was far too far away for Hiccup to hear him properly. And then the fire dragon picked up the exterminator Alvin was riding by the spear in its breast, between two delicate flaming fingers, for all the world as if it were a wriggling worm on a cocktail stick. And down it went too. The Vikings held their breaths. Were they to be the next to go? But no. The fire dragon has particularly evolved to only feed on exterminators. The fire dragon let out one final roar of triumph, the contented song of a meal caught and ready for digestion. And then it leapt up into the sky and dived back down into the volcano crater, its great tail sending fresh waves of lava spilling over the top and down the sides of the mountain, swimming down, down, who knows where, to the earth's core. I can imagine it there in my mind's eye, swimming as free and joyous as a dolphin in those fiery waters. There were two final flashes of thunder and lightning, louder than all the rest, whose rumbles echoed dramatically before growing gradually fainter and fainter. And then all was majestically silent. The peril was over. The volcano still spewed out its lava, but it was moving more slowly now. The rain thinned down from deluge to downpour to drizzle before petering out completely to mere drips on the wind. And even Alvin, surely, surely, would find it difficult to swim his way up to safety through the burning waters of the Earth's core. The thunderstorm drifted away towards the mainland, and the sun was coming out through the clouds. But the strange, boiling hot weather had broken at last, and this was a very different sort of sun from the sun that had been beating down unrelentingly on the archipelago for the past 3 months. This was a kindly, benevolent sun, with a gently blowing cool breeze. A great sigh of satisfaction went murmuring along the lines and lines of Vikings watching from their boats to the south. One began to clap, and soon they were all applauding, as if what they had been watching had been some great play.
"Bravo!" shouted out Mogadon the Meathead, stamping his feet on the deck of the ship. "Bravo!"
And the other Vikings followed his lead, cheering and clapping and making ready to sail back to their homes again, their safe, quiet little homes in the bogs that had been saved by this miracle.
"He's alive!" cried Stoic the Vast, embracing the nearest thing to him,
which happened to be his repellent nephew, Snotface Snotlout.
"He's alive!"
"Yes,"
I have this feeling that he probably is, snarled Snotface Snotlout through gritted teeth. What excellent news!